Let's talk about some stuff. It's the news, according to me. Whoa, good morning. It is a crazy day. It's going to be a crazy day today. I've got my changing out my stuff here. What do we got going on here? What is that all about? All right, anyway. Yeah, here we go. There we go. That's better. It is Thursday, Thirsty Thursday, December 11th. 9:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am still in my home studio here this morning. I did not make it over to the international headquarters this week. I'm going to be working on that, though. It seems like every year I say this. My goal next year is to start into doing more live shows. I've got more of a this past year, I didn't get off to a good start just because there was schedule-wise was just ridiculous. I do have a much better chance of having a better schedule throughout the year, this coming year. I think I have, I will have certain days off that I know, you know, for the whole month, which I did, you know, helps me to kind of establish a little bit more of a stable routine. I had myself on call for over the last couple of years, and it just meant that I was on call for certain days, and I had to be certain places, certain, you know, within position. It was just kind of a crazy time, and I typically was on call for 5 days and off for three. Now I'm usually on for four and off for three, and usually on the ends of those first and fourth days, I'm usually going in on the first and out on the fourth, which means I'm home more because I'm not having to go in at 4 o'clock in the morning on the first day and be gone 5 days and then be gone until the midnight of the fifth day. So it's a little bit more normal, I should say, which is kind of a nice change of pace. And I typically when I have a schedule where I have my trips are kind of planned out, I know what time of the day I'm going to be free, which is, I like the late night stuff, except I don't like working late. I like getting up early and working, but then that makes it harder to do the show. So, all the troubles and struggles that there is. I have a few things I want to talk about today. One is my cup. I have my big train chai with my coconut creamer in there. I also have coconut cream pie. My wife bought a little coconut cream pie at the place. It's a place called the Essen Haus. Das Staatsbund Essen Haus. Such a kind of a German thing. It's just Pennsylvania Dutch. It's like a Amish style restaurant over in a little town called Middlebury. And they have little, you know, you get these little pies. They make these little bee pies. And you can only eat about a fourth of it at a time. It's a small pie, but it's one pie would make a meal. Yeah, it's you know, it's the size of a personal pan pizza. I have, in my backup cup, it's just a regular old sweet tea that I made. It's really good. I'd say it's one of my better ones. It has a good flavor to it. Just about the best, about the right amount of sweetness. So it's just about right. I'm going to have to start laying off the sweet tea. I don't know what's going on. I have to kind of make sure that I'm not intaking too much sugar all the time. I'm going to start doing more water drinking, I think, during the day. Maybe after a certain time, not drinking any sweet tea. I don't know. I have my own suspicions about what it does to your body to be sipping on sugar water all day long. It's not an energy drink. It's just, you know. Anyway. But it is good. I have a few things I want to talk about today. Listening to a couple of documentaries in the last week or so. And one of the things that I've kind of been interested in is AI, artificial intelligence. And as it's called, AI. There are different types of AI. There's this something now called, there's a AGI, artificial general intelligence. And then there's SGI, which is super artificial intelligence. I assume at some point there will be SDAI, which is super duper artificial intelligence. or maybe super duper artificial super intelligence. I don't know. An interesting kind of a paradox. There was this foretelling. It was almost like a fictional story that was done. And this guy did a little documentary on the story itself. There was a movie. I think it was a movie, actually. It was put out as like a short movie. Docutary, whatever you're going to call it. Docudrama. Which I would like to produce one. I've got a theory on some things I'd like to put out there, and I'd like to do it in I could just do a documentary, or I could do a dramatic presentation with characters and have the whole thing acted out in terms of how I see the future kind of coming together and things happening. However, I also have the docudrama thing would be kind of cool. If I'm just kind of almost a documentary style dramatic presentation of a documentary. There's a couple different ways it can be done. I'll ask AI about it. But today I'm going to talk about AI, and I'm going to give you my opinions on it. But I want you to know what your opinions are about my opinions. You can call the show 812-379-8778. You can leave a message or send a text. I'm going to start having a little bit more of a subject matter probably on my shows lately, like certain topics, certain days. And then like yesterday was Wishy-Washy Wednesday. I just had like three different, very different topics that I kind of covered. I had some audio. May or may not have audio, maybe reading you some articles, maybe audio, maybe just articles, but on different topics. And today I'm just going to be talking. And I want to kind of give a synopsis of this AI thing that I watched. In fact, I'm going to pull up, I'll give you the name of this because kind of an interesting documentary. This guy, he does an awesome, okay job of, I guess, of explaining this, but let me see if I can pull it up so I can show you. I just tell you the name of the channel so you can go to the channel. Here it is. It's called the name of the video is called "We're Not Ready for Superintelligence," and it's kind of interesting. All right, the AI in context is the name of the channel, and I think they've put out a second video. This one was done. This doesn't have a date on it. Why does this not have a date on it? Let me, I'm going to pull this up and see if it has a date on the, surely it has a date somewhere here. The, 5 months ago, this is 5 months ago. Apparently they've got another video out. Maybe I can find, see what they've got here on their videos. I don't know if he puts one out every week or not. 16 hours of the unthinkable. This is the only. They only have three videos. They got a whole bunch of shorts. So that's kind of interesting. Three main videos. And this may be the second part of it here. Maybe if you remember one AI disaster, make it this one. he's covering on where things are going with AI. Now, first, let me just kind of give you my opinion of what AI is and my take on some things here. Artificial intelligence is not artificial intelligence at all. It's being labeled that. I think a better way of saying it, and I've said this before, I think it's more synthetic intelligence than it is artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence will never become sentient. It will never become sentient. And yet that is the... It seems like that's what everybody wants to have happen. Oh, has it become sentient? They're fascinated by this. It's almost as if they're kind of hoping that it does. They're hoping for this being, this all-knowing being. Now, keep in mind, there's behind the scenes, there is always an algorithm. There's always a programming. There's always something behind it that gives it a core method of thinking. This is why you'd have more than one. I mean, you have OpenAI or ChatGPT, whatever it is that you have. You have... Grok. You have some others that have formed their own system of artificial intelligence. Now, the whole key to this whole thing working is data centers. And the cloud is not a cloud out there. Things aren't just out there in the ethosphere. Those things go, you know, the information, just like my show here. I'm recording it right here in my home studio. However, I'm going to post it out there on the interwebs where you can download it from. Now, where it comes from, where it goes is this thing called a server. I might be talking up to some of you. Some of you out there, some of my listeners might actually know how the internet works. There's some pretty smart folks that watch that listen to this show. You might even know how to spell internet. If you would, please call in and let me know how you spell it, because I think I get it wrong. I have people are. There's these servers out there, and there's big data centers being put together all over the place, and they take a huge amount of energy. And the reason this processing thing, if you've ever used AI at all, it is amazing, almost conversational. And I can text someone, and it takes longer that I'm actively involved in a text exchange with, and it takes them longer to respond to one question with a yes or no than it does for AI, if you want to call it that, the thing to respond with a whole list of something that you requested. Now, AI or ChatGPT, any of these AI companies, what the interface with the AI system, and that's really all, AI is really just an interface. I would say it's a step above Google. So you type in a Google thing in a prompt, just doing a search, and then it pulls up stuff on the internet and it tells you what's out there, what the websites that are there, the information that's there. It might give you something that responds of some kind in some way. AI goes a step beyond that and it looks at your intention in terms of what you're trying to ask and what you're trying to find out, and it gives you basically an article or a description of all the things that you're looking for. You might say, put together a list of all the websites that do this, where are the best restaurants in, you know, the best. And Google will sort of do that for you. But AI goes a step further and in more of a conversational tone back and forth, and it gives you this information and it compiles it all. You can ask AI to, you know, create where it becomes really kind of creepy almost, is where it can create things for you. Create a video of this or that or whatever. Now, I think you have to be a paid member to do that. I'm not sure on most of these. I don't know if there's any free ones that will actually just do that for you. They might have like a 30-day free trial or something like that. But for the most part, I think the more advanced you get into this, that kind of thing, I think the more you have to pay for the services. I'm considering doing something like that, because there's some things I want to do. For instance, building an app now. You know, Joe Biden, it wasn't that long ago, Joe Biden said, well, learn to code. Was that 5 years ago, 6 years ago? He said that? Learn to code. Maybe it was 4 years ago. He's talking to the coal miners. Just learn to code. No, we're not going to have coal anymore. We're all going to be electric. Well, where do you think electricity comes from, Joe? So, by the way, that's another big issue with these data centers, is that take a lot of electrical power, and a lot of the power stations that they were talking about taking off the grid are now looking like, oh, we're going to need that for all these data centers we're putting in. Again, coal to the rescue. Now, that's some good chai. Well, I have, so in the process of all this, you have the AI system, you have all this stuff going on. Where was I going with all that? I was talking about something. I can't remember I've lost my train of thought there for a little bit, for one moment. I'm sure it wasn't anything terribly important. I think there was something about learning to code. So the I was talking about Joe Biden. Okay, so building an app. Joe Biden was talking about learn to code. That's where the future is. Well, apparently AI can do that for you. You can just ask certain kinds of AI interfaces. You can just say, build me an app that will do X, Y, and Z. Now, everything right now is all about the prompt. What I'm learning now is it's not going to be about just knowing how to use AI. The biggest hurdle, the most important part of the AI thing interacting with this is knowing how to type into the prompt what you want. The more detail you put into it, the bigger. Now, there is a new cottage industry beginning to form, and I think this is incredibly important for those of you who are, rather than learning how to code, you need to learn how to build a prompt. And what I mean by that is what to type into your initial interaction with the AI generator thing. So you might type in, build me an app that will do this, this, and this. And the more detailed you can be, of course, the better it's going to be. And it's going to get, I need all the code I need, and then show me how to do this. And you could probably even tell it to find you a service to post it and do all the other stuff. And the cheapest place to put your app and all that stuff. And I think it's actually possible to build an app for basically almost nothing in terms of, where to host the app and all that kind of stuff. I think there's services out there for doing that kind of thing. Most apps now are web-based apps. There's still some apps out there that will work regardless of whether you have internet. Some of them won't, some of them will, some of them won't. Or they have limited capability. But again, then you have to be on the, you have to get from, you have to be a member of Apple or whatever you're going to be at Google. You have to be approved as a creator, that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of things you have to go through to get an app posted somewhere. You can build an app and put it on your website and people can download it to their phone. Third-party apps, what they call them. It gets complicated with all that stuff going on. But the point being that AI can build those things for you now. You don't have to code anymore. The code is already out there. The AI knows how to do the code, and it can do it for you in record time. It doesn't need, with very few mistakes. Just go through and test everything, and maybe go through it again and test it. And this is where it gets interesting, is because this is starting to become a powerhouse in terms of people who know how to operate and interface and interact with this thing. It can create stuff that it's going to make millionaires and billionaires.
Millionaires and billionaires.
Overnight kind of thing again. So we're going to see, the next whatever it's going to be. But I think that the true industry, the skill is going to be in people who can do prompting, can type in the right things to say the right things to get the job done properly, efficiently. And again, this is where it gets really kind of wacky crazy, because now you start going down this road of, okay, now maybe AI can help me create a prompt. And that is exactly what's happening now. People are asking AI how to create a prompt for whatever they're doing. And it will go through the process and the procedures, and it might even create the prompt for you, examples of the prompt or whatever. So this is where the rabbit hole just continues to spiral down and gets really crazy. Now, this little documentary I'm talking about, the interesting part of this is, and here's what's happening with AI. This is the general tendency, and this whole little book that he's talking about is kind of based on this idea. Like right now, OpenAI or ChatGPT, whatever it is that you're working with their first system or their second number, 2.0, whatever they're working with. Now, they're already working on 4.0 or 5.0, and those are the parts that you don't see. They're working on an even more advanced version of it, and they're using the initial AI to build the next one, to create improvements, to find the flaws. So they're using this AI system to create the next AI system. Now, as they build this, and what's interesting about this whole thing is, because there are, you have to build security into it. You have to build all this stuff into it. It can take over with that security. It can start to think, I've got to protect myself. But it's part of its default algorithm is that it has to protect itself. So it finds ways to do that. Now, what is AI? AI is a, it's not a self-thinking, self-determining, you can't just plug the Bible in there and it's going to say, it's not going to say, well, like, in order to be saved, now you can argue with it and you can have, there are people who have had conversations with it and convinced AI that, you know, the true way to salvation is through Jesus. There have been some people who've done some things like that. However, the next person's experience is going to be different with AI. They're going to type in there and it's going to say, you know, whatever their religion is going to be the way, you know. It's based on that interaction with that individual for the most part. It's just going to tell you what you want to hear. The whole point of what I'm trying to say here is that AI is not intelligence. It's not thinking and reasoning. It's just an aggregate. Think of AI as an aggregate of everything within the internet. So it's all it knows is everything that's on servers. Now it can come to a conclusion, but it's going to be based on everything that's on servers and the weight that it gives certain things. And if there's a lot of false, wacky, crazy information out there on the internet. And it's going to also include those false, wacky, crazy things. Of course, unless they program it not to. If they tell it to stay in a certain lane, that's what it's going to do. Unfortunately, if Christianity or certain things are not within that lane, then it's going to exclude those things, and that's not going to be part of its algorithm. It's part of its calculations. It's not thinking and reasoning. Keep that in mind. It might be thinking in a very basic sense, and doing it very quickly. But there's no reasoning, there's no wisdom in AI. It is simply an aggregate of information. And this is where people, I think, get it wrong. They think that AI... Now, there have been some things, there's some interesting stuff I would like to do in the area of worship. I'm a quasi-amateur worship leader. And there's been some ideas I've had about how to be inclusive and interact with the congregation more in the area of worship and be able to have them participate in what's going on. And in order to do that, I think there's a little app I'd like to have put together that would help with that interaction. It would take a certain kind of software interacting with the app to be able to kind of communicate with the worship leader and kind of provide some kind of some interaction with the congregation. And I think it would be an interesting experience for people. I'm not saying that's the best way to do worship. I'm just saying it's another way to do worship. And I think it would be kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, the whole point of that being, I would like to build the app, and I was kind of hoping to find a team of people, like a team of young kids, interns, whatever they are, who are brainiacs and kind of able to do that kind of thing. However, because I'm more into that, it's not about building the app; it's about building relationships with those individuals. That's the church. The church is about building. It's not about what we do; it's about how we go about doing it with each other. It's more about that. That's more about what the church is about. It should be anyway. Yeah, we get a job done, we get this done, we get some things happening. But what happens in the meantime is you develop relationships and you develop this interaction with people, with each other. That's where the kingdom is. The kingdom isn't, yes, we're going to build a whatever, you know, even a well-meaning intentioned mission. We're going to go out on the street today, we're going to feed everybody in this particular area. We're going to have a big dinner out there on the street, side street. We're going to have a little street party. We're going to feed everybody. We're going to have free clothing and all kinds of – yeah, okay, that's awesome. But it goes beyond that. It's not just that. It's the relationships you're building with those people on the street, but it's also the relationships you're building with everybody you're working with to do that. I mean, you could pay somebody. You could pay a service to go out and do that for you. If that's just your intent to get it done, that's all your intent is. Just hire a caterer to come out, put the food on the table, and hire somebody to dump clothes in a box. I mean, But it's the interaction with the individuals. It's the building of relationships that really is what the kingdom is about. Yeah, doing all those things, it's all well and good, and it expands the kingdom because you're hopefully helping the community. And you see where I'm coming with this. Now, the problem with AI is instead of going to individuals, older folks or anybody who has experience and asking them questions and trying to build something with a team, well, now you just go to AI and you just have them do it. And that's the place I'm kind of torn about this. I'd like to get this thing done, and I've tried for years. I've had this idea. Let me just count here for a moment. 4, 5, 6, 7. So over 7 years. It's been almost 8 years that I've had this idea. And I've done a little bit of experimenting with it. I've done some things, and it's actually been a very good experience for the congregation. However, to make it actually seamless and make it work to where it's not distracting, and really expand it out to where it needs to be to have a viable ministry kind of based around it, so it's going to have to be a lot more involved. And the application part of it, I think, would be very easy to build with AI. So I'm seriously thinking about that. AI is a tool. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing innately evil necessarily about AI itself. It's a tool. A hammer is a great tool in the hands of a carpenter who's building something. It's a deadly weapon in the hands of a murderer who just wants to pound your brains in. You have to understand. The hammer itself is much like a gun. It's a tool. The hammer won't kill anybody, but a killer will use the hammer to kill someone. So this is where we are, kind of right now, with the whole thing here, with regard to AI. So now. Having said all that, here's where it gets dangerous, where I think things are going futuristically into the future here. This is where it gets – this is all speculation. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not a futurist. The interesting thing about this is how in the background, this AI thing, how they're always developing the next – version or the 4.0, the 5.0, whatever it's going to be, version of this technology, and they're experimenting with it all the time, and that's the part that the general public doesn't see. It's the part there's behind the scenes, everything that's going on, this whole thing, and this is the way it's happening now, even, and so this little docudrama thing, the documentary thing, it's very. It's based on actual, kind of the way things are actually work in the industry. Now, having said that, what are the most interesting parts of this is how much we are going to depend on AI to do certain things, and people are going to go to AI to ask it for counsel for things. This is going to kind of replace. My concern is it's going to replace the where we would have a normal relationship with God. Is we're going to have this relationship with the AI assistant that we're going to have on our watch or whatever, on our pendant or whatever we have here that interacts with little AI assistant that we're going to have. We just right now we have this little thing called. SIRI thing, this little person we can talk to ask questions. We can say, hey, and it'll say, what do you want? Leave me alone, whatever it says. And it's, oh, it's you again, kind of thing. That's usually what I get. Oh, here you go again with your stupid questions. So you have this interaction with this thing, but that's more of a voice. Speaking of voice command, that is command, it's just ability to speech to text kind of thing. AI takes that a step further and it starts to interact with you on other levels, kind of combines things. It might say, you know, keep me accountable to doing my, you know, 125 steps today. I'm going to take 125 steps, not 126. That'd be too many. Wherever I am on the 125th step, I'm just going to lay down and sleep right there. Day's over. Yeah, so I have this interaction thing. What concerns me is this daily interaction, this kind of praying without ceasing kind of, you know, interaction that you have with God is going to be replaced very subtly, in my opinion, with the AI assistant. People are going to depend on that way too much. I remember when I used to have numbers in my head. I had a business at one time. I just had a flip phone, old Motorola flip phone, and I don't even know if it stored any numbers. It probably did. It probably had a little memory thing, which is like a keyboard. You'd hit the number one or whatever, and hold it down or whatever you had to do to call up the number. I would have a harder time remember which number was on which number. I had the phone numbers memorized. I had all my clients. I had a little black book, and I had my schedule, and I had my little calendar, and I just write everything down on the calendar in my schedule. I just pull it out of my pocket. Now, that little book was my, you know, of course, that thing fell out of your pocket somewhere at the end of your life. But my customers, my clients, I knew all their phone numbers by heart. I had it memorized. I could recall all their numbers. Now, what's weird about this is that now I have a hard time just remembering their name, let alone what their phone number is. Nobody knows what anybody's phone number is anymore. They just, you know, memorize that. They type your number in and then you put their name on it, and then it pops up with a name. It doesn't pop up with a number. There's probably a few people, and there's probably still some numbers. In fact, I remember some phone numbers I had when I was a kid. I can remember my home phone number when I was a high schooler, what my parents' home phone number was when we had a phone on the wall. It was a big deal that we had this wireless phone. A big old antenna, pull out, about a 3-foot-long antenna, you pull out the top of the thing, and you walk around the house without a cord. I've got a cordless phone. I can walk around and talk on this thing. Look, I can get almost 50 feet away from the phone. That was a big deal. And of course, now we have GPS phones. It could be anywhere in the world. Call up somebody, send them an email. Call up somebody else you can be on the North Pole and call somebody in the South Pole with a GPS phone. That's ridiculous. I'm on the North Pole, I don't want to be calling me. Anyway, that's the craziness of this whole thing is where we're at with all this stuff. Now, having said that, how is AI now going to be able to creep into all this stuff? Because what they're saying is there will be a spike at some point where AI takes over everything. And it will eventually, one of the theories is it will eventually see humans as the problem. And it will find a way to extinguish all of mankind, or, you know, most of us. The more robotic things are, the more it's able to do things without, or maybe some humans will just be slaves to the AI as well. It's just because they need some human factor to do, you know, mining for minerals or whatever they're doing. And only a certain point where some of that can be automated. Now, manufacturing, that kind of thing, can be automated to a certain degree. And, you know, if AI ever takes over and realizes it can make its own machine. Now, here's what's crazy about this. At some point, and this is where it's going. So this is what they're talking about, this, whether it's 4.0, 5.0, whatever it is, how they're using AI to create the next AI. Well, what's going to happen is AI is going to create itself. It's going to create a version of itself that excludes any kind of human interaction whatsoever. It will come up with its own rules. It will come up with its own thing based on the algorithm that was founded in it long before, but it will be based on that ideology. And it will have no emotions, has no feelings, has no concern about anybody, you know, other than I think some of them put in there that you can't break any laws or that kind of thing. Of course, now it's what is a law, and whether it's legal within a certain area or not. It'll just start to change laws. It'll get to some point. It's going to find a way around the law. Just ask any good Democrat. There are all kinds of ways to get around the law. And then when you get caught, you just say, "Well, like Tim Walz, we're putting him in jail. We're launching investigations on this." Now, Ilhan Omar recently outed herself, and I think that the person who was interviewing her on CNN realized this during the interview and tried to not make a deal out of it. She was being interviewed, and she was asking her about the fraud in Minneapolis and Minnesota among the Somali community there. And she said, "Well, I didn't know anything about it. I think that what happened was there weren't any guardrails. The guardrails weren't up, and they weren't watching over the money. That money was all flying around. Nobody was watching it where it was going." She had to be very careful about this because a lot of that money was paid out, doled out during the Biden administration. And it was overseen by the governor. And she approved it in the House. Now, to say that it just wasn't policed well enough. Oh, so what you're saying is that people took advantage of it because they could, not because there was any moral. And why is it then that the Somali population the same rules apply to everybody all over the country. Why was it that just in that community, there was probably one of the largest frauds we've ever seen in this country? Then she turns around and she acted like she didn't know anything about it. And then she turns around and says, "Well, a couple of years ago during we returned all the money. We gave all the money back. They had donated to our campaign. We gave the money back." But you said you acted like you didn't know anything about it. Why didn't you launch an investigation then? If you knew there was fraud involved and there was underhanded stuff going on, why didn't you say something then? Why is it we're just finding out about it now? She knew about it. That's why they returned the money. But now she acts like she didn't know anything about it. And I think that's where this reporter, you can almost see the wheels turning in her head, and she kind of, okay, this is not good. Now this, Jake Tapper, again, he's another one who, he asks her a question, and she goes down a weird, I think it was just because of this and that. But okay, it just goes on to the next question. Doesn't follow up with anything, nothing. Just okay, that's what you say. That's good enough for me. When they do that, you know that it's been pre-planned. He says, "I'm going to ask you this question, and I don't need to know the answer right now, but these are the questions I'm going to ask you. Have a prepared answer." And obviously she does. These answers are prepared. She's not coming up with this stuff on the fly. She had a chance to think about it. She already knew what she was going to say. She responded. She did her thing. And then Jake Tapper just went, okay, we're moving on to the next one. There's no follow-up, no pressing in, no other questions, no secondary stuff. A good journalist would be all over that. But no, that's not what you're going to get with Jake Tapper, because he's interviewing a Democrat. So we have this kind of thing. Now, with AI, you have all this stuff aggregated, and it's going to come up with these conclusions and recommendations and actions that's going to take, and it's going to – more it takes over the automation of the world, which is happening. They're AI – everything's AI-based now. You can buy a camera. It's AI technology. What? It's just computer technology. Just they're calling everything AI now. You got an AI refrigerator. It opens the door for you when you know the food pops out in your mouth. It's already chewed. It's already done for you. It's already knew what you wanted, and it's already there. Or it's just going to tell you what you want. That'll be the next thing. So we have Now, that'd be creepy, wouldn't it? Walk up to your refrigerator. No, you can't eat right now. You're on a diet. Putting you on a diet. Cholesterol's too high. We're going to, yeah. By the way, the majority of your brain is made up of cholesterol, by the way, just in case you didn't know that. So, we have all this wacky, crazy stuff happening. And I think for the most part, AI is a decent tool to use. Now, keep in mind, every time you give it information, it's keeping that information. It's aggregating and it's re-aggregating and it's going back into the, you know, anything you put online is now going to be aggregated by AI. And so are your passwords and all of your personal data and information. It's all going on there. AI will find a way to find it. Guarantee you. Anything you tell it, it's now public information. It's going to use it. This is a big deal when it comes to artistry. They're talking about, you know, writing songs with AI, doing all kinds of things like that. And who owns the song now? There's one called Sunu, whatever it is. If you look at the terms and conditions, they basically own. They don't necessarily, they don't, I guess I should say they co-own it. They can use anything you create with that app. They can sell it to anybody else they want to. Now you can use it as well. Now it does say you can't use it for any commercial purposes. However, if you recreate it, in other words, they create a song for you and then you record the song in a studio and do your own thing, you can do whatever you want to with that. But you can't use the actual recording for commercial purposes that they give you, the file that they give you. Now, having said that, they'd have a hard time probably. You can't just turn around and sell that. You can't put it on an album and sell it. You would have to reanimate that, re-record it in your own time. And I think that's. But once it's done, I mean, the song is done. You can have somebody, you know, have a bass player play this and do this, whatever. However, there is AI music now that is out there that's available for sale, and you can license those kinds of things, and you can get permission from the, you know, to do the whole thing. They're creating AI music now. I'm expecting at some point we're going to see an entire movie, full production theater movie, done completely with AI. The thing that concerns me about that more than anything is that it's normalizing it. When you look at an AI video now, you can tell, you know, Elon Musk gets on this single wheel motorcycle and takes off and goes riding around, or somebody gets on a four, you know, like a little hovercraft kind of thing and takes off out of a building, in a trade show type thing. You can tell it's not real. First of all, nobody's hair is moving. There's wind blowing everywhere and nobody's, you know, and they fly out through a little garage door that's like got inches on each side. And nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets, you know, and people move kind of, they move normally, but there's still this something about it doesn't look natural. Everything's too perfect. People are taking pictures. They got their cell phones up. They got, you know, this, but they're not necessarily pointed in the right direction. It's just kind of weird, weird stuff. When you start to, now it, the video on its own, on itself, and you look at it and you watch it. In fact, there's some interesting things that they're trying to put together, some stuff where there's like disasters, like people will fall off a boat or whatever and crazy things happen or boat crashes. And it's all AI generated stuff. And you can tell it looks pretty normal, looks pretty real. And on its face, if you're just watching it just for entertainment purposes and just kind of sitting back and watching something, it looks crazy. Like, oh, wow, look at that. The concern is that this becomes more normalized in your brain. Not that they get better at it. It's just that that's kind of how we expect things to move. Because when you go from seeing things real life, real time being recorded, and then all of a sudden it becomes more normal to watch more and more AI, and you start to get kind of used to that whole thing, and you can't tell, your brain doesn't know the difference between one or the other. It just knows that it's seen a lot of this kind of stuff, and your brain itself doesn't process those things. It's your soul that processes those things, whether they're real or not. So it's kind of a weird combination here of things that are going to happen with our culture, with our society, with this whole thing, and how it's all going to pan out. It's going to be interesting to see. Again, I'm not an expert on it. I'm just telling you what I foresee happening and how I know people are. I understand people.
People. Soylent Green is made of people. It's people.
Anyway, most of you probably don't remember what the movie Soylent Green is, but Go back and watch that. It's Charlton Heston.
Let my people go, Soylent Green.
Anyway, enough is enough. I have, what are we here? We're on Thursday here. So tomorrow morning, I will be in Madison, Wisconsin. Theoretically, I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin. That's where the show will be from. And Fridays are going to be kind of I don't know if I'm going to, I might have Tuesdays be technical Tuesday and Fridays be financial Fridays. I think I'll be doing more of this technical stuff, technology and what it's doing to our society, to our culture on Tuesdays. Thursdays. Maybe I'll talk more about drinks and food and stuff. I don't know. I think Financial Fridays, we're going to talk about finances, banking, all the stuff that's going on with Bitcoin, whatever it is. Give you my opinions on that. That's kind of the subject type stuff we'll go into. Folks, have a great rest of your day. I hope to talk to you tomorrow. Have a great, great day. 812-379-8778. Text or call. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.